Justin, we have an incredible announcement for the people. Tell them.
Big announcement coming. Austin, Texas, this November, the second Intentional Fatherhood Retreat. We are pumped. What dates, Brooke?
November 12th through the 14th, you can join us in Austin, Texas for a weekend to get away and to be refreshed and transformed as a father. Tell the people what they can expect, Justin.
We're going to have incredible worship. We're going to have great teaching. We're going to have a community of dads all coming together, not just to hear a biblical framework on how to live intentionally as a father, but also to be equipped with tons of practical habits and help on how to do that. Most of all, though, this is the kind of thing where you come into a community of dads who are all trying to follow Jesus into fatherhood together. And let me tell you guys, this will change your life. So we want you there.
Come out, go get your tickets at intentionalfatherhood.org. You can get all of your tickets there. And please, again, join us. Austin, Texas, November 12th through the 14th. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome to the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast, where we give you a strong biblical framework and lots of practical ideas on how to live intentionally as a father and a husband. I'm Brooke Moser.
And I'm Justin Whitmore Early, and we're your hosts to guide you through the many roles and challenges that God is calling you to live intentionally as a father. We're following a visual framework that you can check out at intentionalfatherhood.org, and it's going to help you break down fatherhood into 8 callings.
And in each one, we're going to talk about how God made you to be a father and what practical habits you can start trying today in order to live intentionally into that calling.
So come along with us as we follow Jesus on this journey towards being more intentional fathers.
All right, welcome back to the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast. We are here, we, meaning Justin and I, are here for episode 3.
Episode 3.
We did it. Let's do a quick pound right there. We've done it 3 episodes in. We're noticing as these episodes go on, there's a lot more laughter. There's laughter all the time, but we find ourselves in a giggly place today.
I'm getting funnier.
Yeah.
It takes time for me.
You take time to warm up to the humor. Well, hey, thank you for everybody that has joined along in this journey and this first season. And just as a reminder, thank you to anybody who has rated the podcast or even subscribed or left a comment. That's so helpful.
It is. We love it.
We love
more of it.
Yes. Give us some feedback of how you're experiencing this. And then also to interact a little bit more, we're also going to be doing some episodes of just answering your questions. So cool thing you can do is send a voice memo on your iPhone if you can. Record a 1-minute voice memo of a question that you might have, give your name, where you're from, and then submit that to hello@intentionalfatherhood.org. Email it to that. That link will be in the show notes. You can check that out. But we'd love to hear from you. Love to hear how you're doing. And even if you don't want to ask a question, maybe if you just want verbal encouragement, we'll take that too. That's also
okay.
Right.
I was going to say, phrase your question in the form of a question, but I like this. You just send us a statement. Like, tell us what you think.
Oh, well, yeah. And then also, like, if you want to, if you don't have a question, but you're like, hey, I'm enjoying this. And then if you're like, hey, I'm hating this, like, you know, you can say that too, but we'd probably
send it over.
Yes.
My 1-star, my 1-star reviews on Amazon are by far my favorite and really the only ones that I read because they're funny. They're funny.
Give me one that comes to mind right now.
Gosh, one that comes, I got 2 that came to mind.
Okay.
Someone was like, 1-star, this guy is a rich, privileged lawyer. Why would he know anything about parenting? And I showed it to my wife and I was like, they think that we're rich. Oh gosh. I was like, man, clearly they have not seen my house. Yeah. We've done better since then, but still, like, I was like, wow. Another one was 1-star, he believes in Harry Potter. And I'm like, I have so many questions about what that means. I made a Harry Potter reference about how sin splits us, yeah. Like Voldemort splits himself until he has, you know, no soul left.
Yeah.
And that we were meant for integrity, but sin splits us. And yeah, so that was the wrong thing to say to that crowd because they were like, no, if you reference Harry Potter, then you believe in Harry Potter, and that's a no-no. I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and which is good, right? Because you don't want the wrong audience. It's and so, true. Yeah, if they're going to have a problem, like my wife loves Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
Loves
yeah.
fantasy. My boys like read it all the time. You know, yeah. I think Harry Potter is actually one of the most redemptive story arcs since Lord of the Rings.
Well, you're going to get our podcast canceled now. Thank
you. Here we go.
One star rating. This guy still really likes Harry Potter.
That was a digression. I love one star ratings. So leave us whatever you got. Just leave it for us.
Oh, anyway, episode three. I just want to highlight our last two conversations. A reminder of the paradigm we're working through. IntentionalFatherhood.org. Go check out the
Go look at the diagram. Visuals, yeah. Visuals really helped me. This is why we did this in a visual.
Yep.
A lot of intersecting roles as a father.
Keep going. Say more.
Well,
in the last two we did, say more about
it. We started with in the dark places. We started with vices and hiding and how covenant friendship, spiritual friendship calls us out of our isolation. Probably, I think, one of the most important things fathers can talk about, because we find ourselves in sin. We find ourselves in hiding. We need others to walk along with us.
Yes.
We're going to go to the vertical axes, the vertical pole in our diagram that you see, which for me was really, as we talked about this, the anchor.
Yes.
In that we are followers of Jesus, embodied followers of Jesus. So we need physical and spiritual disciplines to guide us into the life of loving God and loving neighbor. Mm. And, you know, for me, that was the main pole from which everything branches out. But I like that, you know, you were like, let's start in the place we actually find ourselves. And that is vice and hiding. But now we're getting to, I think, what is one of the main anchors of being a dad. We came to being a father by way of our bodies.
Yes.
And there's a lot more to talk about that, but we are embodied people. We are, we are fathers of children. Children that came from our bodies. And so we need to talk about, what does it mean to actually discipline your body into a life of love? That's the physical discipline side that we'll talk about in the next episode. But this episode is about the spiritual disciplines, as in before we can be a father to children, we need to be children of the Father. We're not going to disciple children well until we are discipled. So this is really looking at finding who we are first in God so that we can then call our children to be the men and women that they ought to be.
Dude, yes, yes, yes. All the above. I also want to make a quick note that's off topic and not in any way to draw attention to my hat, but I do have to say, I've found that this hat specifically, if you're watching on YouTube, you can understand. I'm wearing a 49ers hat.
Is it a controversial hat?
I cannot believe what this hat makes people feel. I need to be super clear. Let me be super clear. I am not a sports person, meaning I have not watched a 49ers game, I think, in my entire life, unless they're at the Super Bowl. I liked the hat and I found it on eBay. It's from 1985, the year I was born. I was like, this is great. And I found it. It was a cool vintage red hat. I was just looking for a red hat. And so I just want to make it super clear for anyone that's going to throw shade or hate on the fact that
the 49ers could be a stumbling block for many people. Yeah, so I'm glad you're clearing this up. I thought you were a fan.
Yeah, of course.
I wasn't going to hold it against
Naturally, that would make sense as I'm wearing it upon my body. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation. But maybe to highlight, just save the shade, because I'm with you. Like, if you think they suck, awesome. And if you think they're amazing, great. Like, I am so happy for either side. Just know that it was about the redness of the hat. So I just want to get that out of the way as we talk about spiritual disciplines, because maybe it's a discipline to just withhold some of the things you might be feeling to say. So as an idea, we digress. But I am excited to get into this topic, because you said it really, really nicely, but I think you just said it very quickly, not on purpose. It just came out so eloquently, is we have to learn to be fathers by being fathered by the Father, right? Like, that's a very important part of this. And I never understood how intense life was until I was a father. So I want to be super clear, as this is a fatherhood podcast. If you're coming to this listening and you're like, I don't have kids, then I'm really not going to be talking to the person that is maybe listening that doesn't have kids. So if you are a father, you have kids in this world, you will know that it is one of, and we've talked about it, the most challenging, testing, unearthing, undoing things of your life. And I don't think it's just parenting. I think it's the combination of committing your life to a person and then having persons from you. And I just think there's such an importance to say that it is so impossible to be even an average dad without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well said.
And so I just want to make it super clear that we are not holding some crazy high standard, Justin and I, and we do not at all sit in the place of like, hey, if you just father like us, you guys are going to be A-okay, because we have our own pitfalls.
And I'm actually opposed to any statement that begins, if you just.
Yeah.
Like it, you're exactly. always in dangerous territory. You're always in legalistic territory. You're always in oversimplification. Fatherhood is not simple. That's no. why we're talking about so many of the dimensions of it.
And that's why we've talked about from the beginning that the paradigms are so unique and challenging. And I think there's a lot of guys that I talk to that are so overwhelmed by fatherhood that they don't really talk about it. They don't talk about how crazy it is and what it brings up because it's so much. Mm. But there's no father that I know that exists that can't say that it has impacted him in some deep way, both positively and I would imagine in some ways negatively because it's a reflective nature. You couple marriage with that and the two things that have undone me and made me who I am in the best way have been my family.
Our greatest joys and our greatest sorrows.
All together.
Yeah.
All together. So, like I said, power of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. And we haven't talked about that a ton yet, but we have to talk about that because I just don't think there's a way I can get through a day without asking the Spirit 5, 10 more times, please help me be gracious.
Yeah.
Please help me not respond in anger. Please help me not say the thing. Please help me not lash out. Help me have wisdom for this very complex relational dynamic between my kids. Help me know how to respond to my wife when she's maybe in the right about my wrong and I want to respond the wrong way. I'm just trying to paint a picture like that's a very daily situation. Mm-hmm. So what are the really practical things? Spiritual formation is a very important topic. What are the really practical things that I know you and I are attempting? I'm going to say attempt because I don't think we're excellent at, I don't think we're doing it all right all the time. I think we attempt a lot.
Yep.
And I think that God is really proud of our attempts. In my experience, God is like super, he's just looking for someone who's going to attempt.
This is the paradigm, right? We're talking about being children of the Father so we can be fathers to children.
Yes.
Think about how you get so happy when your children attempt a first step towards you.
Yeah.
When they attempt the baseball throw, when they attempt that first track meet, you're so.
Or attempt obedience.
Yes.
Like, I'm trying to do it.
It's like approximate and you're thrilled as a father. The Lord is thrilled that we are making some efforts to follow in his footsteps, to seek that power of the Spirit.
Yes.
And let me just say, before we get into the practicals, which most of this episode is going to be, you just mentioned how badly we need the power of the Spirit to be a parent. And I think that's a good way to actually frame this whole conversation, because when you parent, to live is to be in the waters of formation. Mm. Okay. I shared my story in the first episode we did. I was, by not being attentive to my habits of lawyering, the regular churn of modern life, how I looked at my phone, how I set my alarms for earlier, how I stayed up later just watching content. I was always working more, you know, skipping meals. These things that were totally normal in my world, I didn't realize how much they were forming me spiritually. Mm. And you can look at psychological stats on this. About 40% of our actions on a daily basis are not the product of choice, but of habit. We are always doing things that are invisible to us. We call that the realm of habit. Mm-hmm. And it's the realm of formation. We can know a lot of other stuff. Mm-hmm. Education. That's what we think, what we learn, what we're taught. But formation is the realm of what we practice, what we do, what is caught. It's often much more invisible. Mm-hmm. And precisely by being so invisible, it is so powerful. Mm. And we are, you talked a minute ago about searching for the power of the Holy Spirit while parenting. We're all searching for some power. Mm-hmm. Like we all have some set of habits. We all have some, if you're familiar with the phrase rule of life, that we'll talk about that. We all are searching for some power. Just most of it is invisible to us. So we're being formed in the contemporary current of anxious people, depressed people, addicted people, lustful people, consumeristic people, unjust people, the opposite of what it is to be formed in a lover, as a lover of God and neighbor. And so the whole conversation that we want to have on spiritual disciplines is to say, how do we, name of the podcast, right? How do we be intentional about those choices? If we're going to have habits, how do we pick them on purpose? If we're going to have a rule of life, how do we be intentional about the rule of life that we have? And if we're going to be seeking for a power to help us, how do we intentionally seek the power of the Spirit? And that, as it turns out, is it's a matter of practice, right? If you think back to my story, I collapsed into severe mental unhealth, not because I thought like, hey, that's the kind of person I'd like to be. Like I didn't think my way into that problem. I practiced my way there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can't think yourself out of a problem you didn't think your way into. You practiced your way here. So you need to practice your way out. And that puts us in the realm of talking about, okay, what are the spiritual disciplines? How do we get better at following along in Jesus's footsteps? So what do you do?
Yes. Well, this is what I want to kind of dive into, because so much of what you just said, the formation piece, there's a lot out there. This is obviously something in different circles. I mean, Justin and I were actually debating this before. We were going back and forth. Yeah. Like, I feel like this topic is talked about ad nauseum.
Yeah. And I'm like, I couldn't get enough of it, because I think we omitted it for so long.
Yes.
But now I'm so glad that so many people are talking about it.
Yeah. But where we landed was to say, actually, this is one of the reasons we actually even wanted to partner together to do this, to really start intentional fatherhood in a deep way, is because we actually are on different ends of the spectrum. We're in different sides of the country.
Yes.
We are actually in different spaces, inhabiting different cultures. There's a lot of overlap, but there is also a lot of differences. And in those differences, I think that's where there's strength. And so I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and be like, everyone's talking about formation, so you can just go listen to whatever your favorite formation style podcast or read your formation book. And truth be told, there's a ton of great work. Jean-Marc Comer, my brother-in-law.
Yeah,
I mean, he's done
fantastic,
insane work on formation stuff. So, I mean, I think that's a great resource. But I also think you've done a beautiful work on taking a lot of the formation and specifically in the habit realm, doing a good job of marrying those two in a very practical, logistical way.
Yeah.
So what we want to do in this episode, I'm just going to
lay
it out, is simply to say, we want to tell you what our habits around formation to Jesus look like.
Mm-hmm.
Not, and trust me, you will be underimpressed, underwhelmed. And I think actually that's kind of the point. I think what we want to do is just be very transparent and honest about, like, what does a normal day look like for us? And to say, also, here's some things that we're living into. Here's some of the things like that are beyond us, that we're our goals we're reaching towards. Mm-hmm. But then here's also the areas that we've failed, because I've done the thing that so many people do. Like, I'm going to take on all of these new disciplines. And then, like, by week one, I'm just back to all the same things. Cause like you said, habits, they eat willpower for breakfast.
Yeah.
Right. I know you didn't say that, but lots of people have said that.
I invented that. Yeah.
Actually, the first person I heard that one from was John Wartburg. We should have him on the show. He'd be great.
That's a great idea.
A good person to talk to. But that said, I think it comes down to you and I being honest about, like, fatherhood's real. It's busy. It's hard. So let's not add anything or any expectation to anyone listening. Let's just be very honest about that. So anything else before we go into our specific spiritual disciplines that we try to live into?
No, I actually would dive in right there, because all of mine come from where I first failed.
Okay. Talk to me. Give me yours. I want to hear your list.
In my vignette that I painted in episode one, I am, a missionary turned corporate lawyer, and being radically deconverted, formed into the nervous medicating lawyer by habit that I didn't realize I had. And so a lot of these things were the new rhythms of my days as a young lawyer that were really basically tethered to my phone and technology and work.
Mm.
So I would have never said, obviously I didn't set out to make an idol of my work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't set out to become somebody that was inattentive to my children. But the power of technology as a mediating force between me and my job made it so that I aggregated spiritual disciplines that led me to the idol of work. Okay.
There you go.
And so here they were. My day would look like I open my eyes and I check my work email, because the most important thing about today is not whether I can get a quiet time in or have some, even just a moment of silence. Most important thing about today is whether I can get what so-and-so needs done at the office. As if I can't do that, then I'm inadequate or somehow unlovable, right? Then I go to work. I probably skip breakfast. I'm maybe come home for dinner. When I am home, I'm still on my phone. I'm churning through work emails. So I'm not attentive to my
family.
I'm not attentive to my wife. I'm completely fractured in my presence, which made me like Voldemort. I'm trying to I'm serious about this though.
It's really
good. I was trying to split my soul, myself, and say I can be there and here at the same time. I got some horcruxes at work and here. And and you really, by trying to be two places at once, you're no place at all.
Yeah.
And so my work wasn't great. My family was paying for it. And then, you know, I look at my life, I was former missionary, and, you know, I tell people, you know, oh, I'll pray for you, hear about that. Or like, I think I should be a person of prayer. It's not part of my life. And so that's the rhythm of my day. And the three spiritual disciplines that have become so important to me now are combat that schedule. One is scripture before phone. A second one is an hour with my phone off every evening. And a third one is a rhythm of kneeling prayer at morning and night. Because I realized my default habit, by not having any counterformative habits, by not having a rule of life or spiritual disciplines, my spiritual discipline was to start my day in my email. And it was forming me into the kind of person who looked for approval at work. I never thought, you know, it mattered so much, but as it turns out, the habits of our gaze form us deeply. Yeah. Like where our eyes go, there our life goes. Wow. So for me, a huge part of this was just saying, wait, I should get technology out of my morning. And also, how about getting scripture into it? I mean, both are important, because the technology part was how many times I stood at the, you know, kitchen counter while my boys were eating cereal and I see some stressful work email because I'm half there.
I know what you're going to say.
And then I snap at them for spilling milk.
There it is. There it is.
And then I snap at them and they're like, Pop, we always spill milk. Like, what gives this morning? Like, why? And I'm making a little bit light of that. But honestly, lots of times it wasn't so light. It was just, I take my stress out on them. Mm-hmm. And this is entirely within my control because the phone is just fracturing my presence in the morning. So a huge deal for me was to say, scripture before phone means for me, I'm not going to look at my phone until I've spent a little bit of time in scripture. Two ways that's looked at different points in the past decade. Most often it just stays out of my morning routine.
Okay.
Until I get in the car to go to work and I say, hey Siri, open Dwell, which is my Bible reading app.
Okay.
And I literally use my phone to do scripture before phone, as in I listen to the audio Bible on the way to work.
I just pause though. That's real. And but I want to say thank you for sharing that, because it is those very hypocrisies or seeming hypocrisy. I want to say seeming because it's not a hypocrisy. Seeming hypocrisies that stop a lot of us.
Sure.
Those lies that would be like, well, how can I even be a human? I'm listening to the scripture on the, you know what I mean? And just to say, like, it's so human. That's real thing. Fathers, we are so excited to let you know of two resources that myself and Justin have been working on. First, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is available exclusively right now at intentionalparents.org or intentionalfatherhood.org. It is a 31-day guide to help you pray and focus with consistency on your family, your children, helping shape their hearts while God shapes yours. And of course, you've heard about it. Justin's resource, his new book, The Body Teaches the Soul, is available everywhere books are sold. This book is about the 10 essential habits that build a healthy and holy life, habits that strengthen how you lead your home. So we want to just encourage you, if you have not grabbed those resources and those are helpful, please take a moment, get those now, and let's get back to today's episode.
I mean, so part of this isn't going from being a missionary in China to being like a corporate lawyer in a very demanding work environment. I used to be paid to have quiet times. You know, I don't mean that cynically.
No.
It was part of my job. It was expected of me. And gosh, that was such a beautiful time. Like, honestly, Brooke, I think about that time and I'm like, so grateful for the way the people in charge of me said, build in extended time with the Lord so that you can do this job well. I'm so thankful for that. As it turns out, none of my colleagues at the law firm or partners that I'm working for are asking me to do that. In fact, they're asking me to live the opposite. So
completely.
I would love to get back to a place in life where I do have an hour of meditation in the morning. But to be just really honest, that is not now. That is not my stage of life with kids right now. But it can be my stage of life to do something rather than nothing. It is a big motto of mine. Mm-hmm. Something rather than nothing. So a couple minutes of listening to the audio Bible on the way to work has had far outsized impact in my life.
Wow.
It really has. Because in the flip of saying, I'm not going to look at social media or emails or the news in the morning, I'm going to look at the real story of the world, that God loves me, has been an enormous identity flip where I'm now not going to work to earn my love. Mm. I'm looking to the scriptures and realizing I am loved, and now I can go to work to give love. Yes. And that has made a truly enormous difference in my life. Praise God. Through the power of the Spirit. I mean, it's an enormous difference.
So is that like listening and then prayer time as well for you?
Where it comes in? Really, in my typical day, my prayer times are coming in that other rhythm I mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go. So that's the Bible. Anything to add to that one? Because I want to kind of go through each of these three real quick. So you got the Bible.
I wouldn't add any of that. So that's scripture before phone. And I recommend that anybody do it. Kneeling prayer. I had the embarrassing wake up call at some point of being like, I'm a person who talks about praying and never actually prays.
Sure.
And there's a couple habits in my life that I've actually reclaimed prayer and rhythms, but the most important anchor one was saying, I'm going to start my morning and end my day in kneeling prayer. Mm. The older I get, the more I love kneeling because getting the attention of my body, I think, is to get the attention of my heart, mind, soul, all the things. And so when I wake up in the morning and just briefly kneel and thank God for the day, it really is not much more than that. Like, I'm not talking 5 minutes even. I wish I was, you know, but I'm talking, you know, 30 seconds a minute of touching my knee to the ground and saying, Lord, thank you for giving me this day. Thank you for a night's sleep. I'm thinking about the meetings I have. I'm thinking about the work I'm going to go to, you know, help me with this, help me with that. It's just a radically different way to start the day. It's also a radically different way to finish the day. If you're going to kneel and pray before you get in bed, that probably means you're not scrolling your phone in bed. Like, you've put everything else away. It's the last thing you're doing. It's a different way to end the day. So many times I lay down and all the things I did wrong start scrolling in my mind, like, or all the things I'm worried about. And this is a counter habit to say, no, I'm going to let this day rest where the Lord has brought me. And that is, thank you for bringing me through a day. Help me to rest in peace, because it's not easy as a father with all the obligations to just lay down and sleep. Lord knows it's not easy. Like,
no,
you're thinking through a lot. And so those two very, very small rhythms have just created grooves in my day where prayer can happen, even if short. And it means that, again, something better than nothing. I'm moving from a person who talks about praying and doesn't, to somebody who actually prays a little bit.
Yes.
And the best part, and I'll end this one here. I wrote about this rhythm in my first book, The Common Rule. Somebody came up to me at a conference a year later and goes, I'm so thankful for you talking about the morning and evening rhythms of kneeling prayer. I've started to do this every day. It's just really helped me actually bring prayer into my life. His wife was next to him, and she goes, and you know what? He's staying longer and longer on his knees, like every time. Like, it's, and I was like, amen, yes. Because that's what it's been for me too. A small little anchor habit
just
grows. Yes. It grows.
Good.
And so you might be hearing this and you're like, scripture before phone, two times of kneeling prayer a day. That doesn't really sound like plant the seed.
Yes.
Plant the seed.
Yes.
And the Lord will grow it. Like a life of prayer grows out of some disciplines of prayer.
So you've got kneeling prayer. And then what was the last
one? The third one was an hour with my phone off every day. Classically, I mean, when I started this, I just knew that I needed a break.
Yeah, you just need a break. Absolutely.
But I came to learn that, you know, there's a classic discipline of silence, of solitude, of things that are trying to pull us into the ability to be comfortable with quiet, which is really, Brooke, the ability to be comfortable with your own mind.
Yes.
And Lord knows, like for me and many others, you know, it's crazy up there. So it's hard.
It's crazy.
It's hard. And I knew this was a problem in my family. I heard on a Malcolm Gladwell podcast that an hour with your phone off at the same time every day was one way to break technology addiction, which is a serious, serious problem. Most of us are like seriously addicted to our phones. And so I thought, you know, I want to try this, but I can't. I'll get fired because like clearly somebody's going to call me from the
office. Your situation,
I think I had a little bit of too high of a view of myself. As it turns out, you know, I started to do it and two things happened. One, no one noticed at the office.
No
one cared.
That's so
it
great.
Was really important teaching point for me. It's like, I'm not as important as I thought.
Yeah.
Which I would say one of the reasons I do it is to remind myself daily that I'm much less important to the world out there than I think. Mm-hmm. I'm far more important to the world in here than I think.
Yeah.
So be present with your wife and kids. That's that was the second thing that happened. I think I snapped back to being present with my wife and kids a lot quicker than I thought. And this was amazing to me. We'll pick up on this in the next episode in terms of physical disciplines in your brain and neuroplasticity. But I really did, in the deepest part of my crisis, believe in a narrative of the enemy that I was stuck with the life that I had. Wow. I was stuck with the addictions that I was wrestling with. I was stuck with the mental unhealth that I had. Mm. I was like, this is just life now. This is what it is like to become a father. This is what it's like to grow old. You slowly just decay. Mm. And I, you know, hopefully I can stay out of an insane asylum, but maybe not. Like literally, that's where suicidal thoughts came in for me. Cause I was like, there's no other direction.
This is all that, yeah.
And I see now, like, one, again, that's how the enemy talks to you. That is not how your loving father talks to you. As it turns out, he made you for people. He made you for presence. He made you to be with your wife and your kids. And when you remove the things that are distracting you from that, your phone, technology, addictions, you know, your spiritual DNA and literally your physical DNA pops back and you realize, oh, I want to be here. Mm. And that was just good news to me because I realized I wasn't stuck with the mind that I had, that the Lord, praise God, built a mechanism of grace into my biology. It's called neuroplasticity. You're not stuck with the mental patterns you have. You're not stuck with the addictions.
Yes.
Like, this is the great news of grace, that you don't have to be the same tomorrow as you were today. Mm-hmm. And I really think I believe that change was not possible. And so it was amazing that a habit as small as turning off my phone for an hour each day led me, one, to this beautiful new evenings of presence with my family, but also to the beautiful realization that, oh, I can change.
Yes.
And that's the spiritual disciplines. It's that you realize change is slow and it's a lot harder than you think, but it's also a lot more possible than you think.
Yeah, that is so really well said. I really also appreciate how I just honestly, like, that's a real, when you're sharing that with me, I'm like, that's realistic, right? Like, that's within the flow. And you're a busy guy. Like, you,
well, and most of us are. I mean, most of us are like, this life is really hard. Can you just give me one little thing I can do? And I think God is gracious and like, yes, I can.
Yes,
I do. And I actually have a radical life to call you to. But start with this, you know.
Start with a little stuff. No, I so agree. And there's so much to say, but I really, there's one spiritual discipline that I think is really important that we're going to talk about. It's on my list.
Yeah, I want to hear yours.
No,
I gave
my
top three. I want to hear your top three.
Yeah, so, but I think we share the other one, which I'll say. One thing though, I think is helpful maybe to highlight, because I want to remind everybody, this is a very biblical concept, like that the world is going really hard in one direction. And basically anytime you kind of just slow down and go the opposite of the world, even like what you're saying even if it's not in a overtly aggressive way, there is still massive change in a positive sense towards your parenting, towards your life. I mean, we know so many different verses, but Romans 12:2, I love this.
This was my scripture before phone this morning.
I
was in Romans 12:1-2.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, just perfect. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing or the constant changing of your mind.
Yes.
Right? Neuroplasticity, all the stuff you just said, right?
Yeah. Don't. And it hits that point that we talked about. You are always being formed. Paul sees the commonality here is you're either doing one of two things. You're being conformed or you're being transformed. So no, there's not a neutral.
Yeah. No.
And if anybody's like, I don't have time to do all this stuff. It's like, well, you have time for the habits you have right now. And they're crushing you.
Dude.
Like, you're serving a master who doesn't love you back. And the spiritual disciplines are taking the light burden of Christ and saying, well, if I'm going to be yoked to somebody's habits, and you are, pick the God who loves you back.
Yes. That's such a good way to say it. Great, great word.
Little breadcrumb here.
Yeah.
Romans 12:1.
Yep.
Says, therefore, you know, in view of God's mercies, all the 1 through 12 that we've just read about, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That word there is your actual bodies, the somos Greek word.
Yes.
This whole concept of being transformed instead of conformed is in light of Paul saying, you have something to do with your actual body. Mm. This is not a, like, overly spiritualized language. So, breadcrumb for the next episode, it's the idea that your body is called to righteousness.
Exactly.
That verse reflects back to Romans 6:13, where he says, don't offer the members of your body to sin, offer them to righteousness.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, I'm tangenting
this,
but I just think
it's exciting. Your head is very fairly in this space right now because of what you're working on, which I'm excited about.
Well, we'll talk about that in the next episode. But the spiritual disciplines are an embodied task, which is why I'm like, flip to this, not that. Turn your phone off, not on. Kneel with your your knees so that you can actually pray.
Yes.
You know, all these things are calls for your actual body.
Yes. So many things to say. Love all of that. I would say,
your top three,
my top three.
Let's go.
Yeah. My top three. I'm going to say what's realistic, like what's very, I'll stay with what's realistic and then I can hit a little bit of what's ideal. I would say in my season of life, my family dynamics, having time to process what happened the day before in full is a very important part of me making it through the next day or the day that I'm awaking into. And so I find that our kids are now at the stage, our youngest is 7 now. So there's a predictability around sleep. There's not like this early rising unless, you know, some rare occasion, but most of the time, 7:30, 8, they'll sleep into.
Dude, God bless you.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm also now hitting that phase, but for so many years, it was like,
it's just never, I know, I'm not so many sleep. Listening.
I can't wake up when I want to wake up. I can't do anything.
And so just know that that's you
there's
basically.
Ahead.
This is recent.
Yeah.
But you know, if I wake up at 5:36, I'll wake up early on purpose just to have space to not be rushed. I don't like being rushed in general. You guys, my wife.
I love it.
I don't like being rushed. And I have the blessing, and I think a lot of people do depending upon your work, but I don't have a job that I have to be at 7 in the morning, and I don't have kids that have to be at school right away. There's some buffer and some time. Yep. I try to exercise in the afternoon. We're going to talk about that next episode.
Mm-hmm. Everybody get excited for next episode.
Next episode.
The body.
but I think that practically speaking, having time and space to unburden my soul to Jesus is so critical for me.
Yes.
For me. It's just something that I've learned that when I don't have it, I feel the lack. And when I do, there's a centering. So I like luxurious wasted time in God's presence.
Can you say that again?
Yeah. I love luxurious wasted time in God's presence. I love that. I love it. I love, and dude,
I like that you said that because I think so many people hear, I wake up at 5:30 or 6 to spend an hour with the Lord as like
productivity,
a duty, a task, a burden.
Yes.
And you're like, no, I wake up to luxuriate in the Savior who loves me.
Yes. Like, it's so, and I'm just telling you, until you like jump into that a couple times, it's hard to really articulate, but I don't have an agenda. Like I stopped a long time ago doing a Bible reading plan because I realized I was just, it was another way for my mind and my soul to check off a list that I didn't need, that wasn't actually, I wasn't meditating. I was just checking off a list. I was just like, let me get to the word count. It's not changing my heart. I'm just, now I've read it. Now I feel better. Right. So I stopped doing that a long time ago. So now I pick a verse, I pick a phrase, I pick a word sometimes, and I just pray on it, think on it, read about it, study it. Like that, I personally find a lot of like depth, enjoyment, and connection. So my times, it would definitely be a silence, solitude, / Bible reading time.
Yeah, and this is, sounds like it's blending scripture study and meditation, right? Like sometimes
combination
it's one or the
of
other.
Both. Yeah, I think it's reflection. It's journaling. Oftentimes it's journaling.
That's my favorite way to meditate and pray.
Exactly.
To journal.
Yeah. The morning time is, and it's a little bit longer. I'd say, honestly, most mornings I have about an hour or more that I'm doing that, but I'm not like, this is not a checklist. I wish I had 5 hours, but not because I want to, because I'm earning God's favor. It's because I just love like what God's doing. I love reflecting and understanding and journaling, and he's teaching me things. And then God's like giving me things that he's teaching me that I think he wants to help other people with. And that's exciting.
So
like
good.
It's exciting when you're like, you know, coming alive to what God wants you to do. So I'd say for me, that's what it looks like, but that's not every morning, but most mornings I can build that in and that's my life stage, and it's works, and other stages have not been like that, even close. But I would say now that I have that space, I love that. So journaling.
Is that number one?
I'd say that's number one. It's kind of a conglomerate, right? The second one is prayer walks.
Yes. Increasingly my favorite way to pray.
I would say prayer walks because, you know, so much of we learn about the mind. Obviously, you and I are not scientists by any stretch of the imagination. We know enough
but we dabble.
We know enough to be dangerous and get people in trouble or ourselves.
Who doesn't these days? Who doesn't have some advice about your diet?
Let me tell you what I think about your brain. And no, so obviously we're not the educators, but obviously there's a certain level of study and understanding that we both have because it's interesting and helpful to our lives. That said, I'm not a neuroscientist, but as you're walking back and forth, the right, you know, the left, this left brain, right brain, just processing. It's a time to process. For me, prayer walks are processing with God. Mm. It's prayer, but it's processing. It's what happened with that today? Why was that my knee-jerk reaction to that event when the glass broke on the ground? Why did I get so angry about that? What's going on? Like, help me not do that again. Help me be gracious. But what's going on? I found that when I brought a big prayer list into those, I became, again, very distracted by the list.
By getting it done instead of...
going through my list of things to pray. So more recently, probably in the last, practically in the last probably 5-6 months, I don't have an agenda. I go out and ask God, what are the things that we need to talk about? And then lots of stuff comes to mind, amazingly so.
How long is a typical prayer walk for you?
So for me, I'll just tell you what I try. I never prayer walk in the morning. Very rarely do I. If I have some extra time and the kids are sleeping or I don't have a rush morning, I might. Most of the times I don't. My ideal is to go on a brief 20-minute, 25-minute prayer walk at lunch. I maybe do that 10% of the time because life just, honestly, my work schedule busy. It just gets very hard to pull away. I'll put my mind towards God a couple times during the day, but honestly, getting out for a walk is very hard. Primarily, it is when the kids are asleep, not when they go to bed, because there's a difference between go to bed and when they're finally asleep. So Elizabeth knows, like, usually once they're asleep, she's usually asleep as well. But if she's not, I'll just let her know. And I slip out and I just, I take the dog and we...
So I was going to ask, so you take the dog? This could, like, people listening to this could think, hey, you're walking your dog.
Well, anyway, the nice thing about...
make it a prayer walk.
So I had one caveat with having a dog. I'm not necessarily a dog person. I'm not an animals in the house person. And anybody that like can destroy me for that, that's fine. That's just not how I grew up.
We actually bonded last night talking over our mutual, call it disdain for the canine species.
I just have a hard time when people are like, hey, you can't wear shoes in my house, but we have a dog. I'm like, do you realize how many germs are on that thing that lives in your house? You don't want me to get my shoes on, but you have a dog. Anyway, this is a controversy.
Yeah, I know this might be worse than the 49ers. You're alienating a lot of people. I want to say I've repented. Yeah. I'm trying to learn like St. Francis to like love all of God's creatures. And I'm actively working on loving dogs and cats.
I take my dog on walks, but the one caveat I had was that it had to be really well trained. So truly, I wasn't going to pay $2,000 for a trainer. So I got online and like learned how to train dogs.
Good for you.
And so,
because I've realized the problem aren't dogs, it's bad owners. Bad owners.
Every time in my experience, that's my experience. Anyway,
I'm really getting us off. Sorry. You're walking the dog, you're praying.
So we don't leash our dog. He's on one word commands. He heals. He can break. So he'll be all around. All I have to do is a click and he is like right to my left side. Only left side, not right side. He doesn't go to the right side. And then he stays. So he's never a problem to other dogs. He's very well behaved. So I go on a walk and I just let him roam around. It's great for him to get out. Yeah. So I'm not really walking my dog. I'm just like making sure he's not doing anything or going to the bathroom in anyone's lawn, that kind of thing. But that said, I would say that's what that looks like. If the kids are in bed, I'd say it's 20, 30 minutes. I mean, I invest in this time, meaning like it's cold where I live, you know, a lot of the year. Meaning
you bought a special jacket for it.
I bought this massive jacket. It goes like down to my shins. It's like polar vortex / you know, it's just a big jacket. And it's amazing. It keeps me warm and I have gloves and boots and like I invest in it.
I really, really like that. I think that's a concept we're just pausing really quick.
Yeah, sure.
Investing in the life that you ought to have or you want to have.
Yeah.
I think about the spiritual discipline so much as finding the habits that you have.
Yeah.
And then intentionally choosing a better one.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, you know, mine were built out. It's like, oh, I'm looking at my phone in the morning. I should swap in scripture
which
there.
Which is very helpful.
And I think one of the things that actually helps is you realize, hey, buy yourself a nice journal and start to get excited about your quiet times or honestly, and buy a nice coffee setup.
Yes.
So you know that at 6 a.m. you're going to wake up and you're having a great cup of coffee as you have great time with the Lord or, you know, whatever it could be.
Dude, this
morning, jacket,
my Bible that you have right there in your lap, the Bible that is my favorite Bible, Cambridge Bible.
Yeah.
That is not a cheap Bible. And I love it. I love it so much.
And I we could talk about the spiritual discipline of simplicity too, yeah, and how like, absolutely, you know, you should be careful about where your money's going and, sure, live simply. But I love this idea because so much of our time and our money, mm-hmm, is prodigally, lavishly spent on things that we shouldn't be using or, totally, doing. Like I think about your prayer walk and I think how many of us are like, oh, the kids are finally asleep. I'm just going to watch a show.
Sure. I do that.
Nothing
too,
wrong with that. We all do that. But that is also a time to say you could invest there and, mm-hmm, you could choose something that you can swap something out one night, yeah, a week. Yeah. Say, I'm gonna do a prayer walk instead.
Investing money into it for me is a stamp of me declaring to myself and to others, my wife who knows that I have to talk to my wife. Hey, I'm planning on buying, yeah, this stuff. Like we're talking about this financial commitment. It forces a certain level of accountability, I think. Mm-hmm. I do well with that kind of responsibility or, you know, expectation maybe, yeah, or, yeah, accountability. So I would say that's my second one, prayer walks, praying about everything, processing with God. Third and probably favorite, and you said you never really talk about it, but I'm glad we're talking about it, but it's spiritual reading. I, yes, think that spiritual, yes, reading is a discipline. Not only I know it's a discipline, but I would say, hands down, one of the most impactful, life-changing practices or habits of formation in my arena of spiritual discipline is finding trusted people that really connect with my soul and then reading everything about them. And not reading very wide. Like I actually read wide when it comes to certain topics. When it comes to those who are influencing me in the arena of Jesus, it's actually just a few handful of people that have influenced me in a deep way. And I overread them.
And you read really deep and read them over and over.
And I read everything that they've put out because they spoke to me in a way. And so these become mentors to me.
As an author?
Yes.
Perhaps selfishly, I'm like loving this. I'm like, please, you know,
yeah,
go deep.
Everybody go deep with me. I'm going to write 25 books. Yeah.
I really love this because when I wrote The Common Rule and wrote about 4 daily, 4 weekly habits for,
yeah,
you know, living intentionally. And
these are all great resources. You have a, yeah, bunch. What I love about what you've created, just on a note, there's your books have helped so many people, but I really think there's a lot of overlap with some of the topics we're talking about. Ironically, we didn't pick these topics to highlight the books, right? Like that's the funniest part, but there is so many just, by God's grace in a good way, there's so many very real tools that you've had to work through and actually created resources for. So that's just another reminder, like, yeah, check out your stuff because it is really helpful.
Well, I've so far mostly like written out of the crises,
yeah,
I have, or and occasionally in the friendship book is actually the blessing that I have. But it's because I'm looking at my life, like where are the pain points of trying to follow the Lord? Where am I getting deformed?
Yes.
And that's, I've always written to process. But I just really like that because as I thought about the habits and the common rule, there are things like hour with your phone off, scripture before phone, kind of like twists, like little twists on the current habits we have. But I didn't, until you talked, I didn't really think about one of the habits I don't talk about, but that is very true of me is that I just love to read.
Yes.
And that's just always been true. You know, I was an English major. Mm. I've always loved writing. And so reading spiritual writers has just been a norm. And I think it's almost like not said enough. Maybe it's so obvious, but I like how you're putting it as a spiritual discipline. Like go deep, be reading. Recently for me, it's been Chesterton.
Yeah.
So reading G.K. Chesterton and realizing, oh my gosh, this guy that lived a little over 100 years before me has some incredibly contemporary and important things to say to my moment. I'm like, whoa, I'm just getting blown away by him. I'm like reading deeply on him. And so, yeah, when you walk with people who are dead, but who follow the same Jesus that is alive.
Yes.
It's an amazing habit. And it might be one of those like king of habits where this is the habit that leads to all the other habits.
Yeah.
Keystone habits is what they're.
But I want to highlight this as an important one because so many people will just not read. I remember hearing a long time ago that leaders are readers. And that's the truth. Leaders are readers. Not because they're leaders are they readers. It's because when you read, you start to lead. Because thought is especially in a thought-based culture in our now we are in a a thought and mind-based economy.
Right.
Content
right.
economy. Your thoughts are what open worlds for people.
Right.
Well, how are right. worlds open to you? Through understanding, reading. If you will do the one act of disciplining yourself in reading, in my experience, and I hear you saying the same,
yeah.
it opens up so vastly, so many more pieces of understanding, conversation,
it really
opportunities.
Does.
I mean, it's insane when you think yes. about it.
So what's your rhythm for this? Because I've gone from a life where I was an English major in college, missionary in China. Again, reading was sort of part of my job.
Sure.
And I did half a seminary degree in China. So yeah. like it really yeah. was my job. To now I read contracts all day.
Ooh.
And you say, I kind of like it. You know,
sounds bad to me.
I don't have a ton of other capacity. And one of the things I realized when I started lawyering was a lot of the extra energy I had to read was now taken. And then children came in the picture. So for yeah. me, poetry is actually really important in my life right now. I always, always have a book of poetry on my desk because it can be short snatches and they disproportionately blow your mind open.
You're right.
Because poetry comes at truth by way of the heart. And so I love keeping poetry around. And then now that my kids have more predictable wake up times, I actually am usually getting up and maybe reading some Chesterton or some Lewis or Robert Capon was my most recent read this winter. But so I'm finding these snatches in the morning, 20, 30 minutes to read. But what does it look like for you to make a habit of reading?
I would say, I was going to ask, so I'm glad you shared that. I would say, your fatherhood needs your reading. It really does. I mean, I cannot think of a world where I wasn't asking for help through picking up a book and reading somebody who's going to give me understanding, dude. Right? You know what I mean?
I so know what you mean that I really want to emphasize it. I think your kids need a philosophy. They need a worldview. As much we're talking about formation here, but that is never to be to the exclusion of education.
No.
And I think you need to be somebody who is reading so that you can pass an understanding of the world, of God's creation and how to live in it, what it means, what it is to your children. I love that when I was little, I would come down in the morning and it was just normal for me to find my dad reading at his desk, often his Bible, often something else. He had a big, and now I've imitated him. And I have a sort of library in our house where all the books are on display because, again, invest in what matters.
Yeah.
I didn't want just another room downstairs. I wanted a place that showed my children that Lauren and I love to read and the value of becoming a person who reads, becoming a person of the word is giving a lifestyle and a philosophy to your children. So I can't underscore enough. Your fatherhood needs you to read.
Yes. Your fatherhood needs you to read. And I would also say if you're dyslexic, because that's a real thing and you're like reading is the most unenjoyable thing. There's a world saying that audiobooks aren't reading books, but I would say if you can ingest the content, that's the point.
I've never heard that, and that is wrong.
And I know it's wrong. We all know it's wrong. But
I love when people listen to my books because I'm literally reading it to them.
Yeah.
And it's a great way.
My son loves it. But he loves listening. He's listened to so many books. I've gotten him to read
most of human history. We were auditory learners because printing press was not around a couple centuries ago. So,
you're right.
reading and hearing the word. Remember, most of the Bible was consumed this way. Hearing other people read it to you.
Hear, O Israel.
Yeah.
Lord, our God is one.
So I love that. Yeah. Audiobooks. Yeah. And for anybody who is either just, they're busy, they're dyslexic, they're something.
Yeah.
Lucky for you, you live in a magnificent age where technology has done some bad things, but also some amazing things. And the world of audiobooks is amazing.
It's an incredible
podcast.
World.
Listen.
And I would say a couple things. For me personally, when I am ingesting content and ideas and wanting to understand something, depending upon time, I will listen. I will listen to books. If I want to go deep in a book, I read a book. And so spiritual writers for me are always physical books. And it's usually in the morning. I would say nighttime is not my reading time.
Yeah.
I'm not sharp at night. Creating, writing, anything like that's always the morning for me. It's when I'm the sharpest. So I usually include it. That time in the morning is pretty packed and it will go in between all the different variables that I set.
Yep.
And not every day is exactly alike, but I need that because I like spontaneity. The habit's consistent, but what's in it is not always going to be the only thing. It's kind of a variety, but I need that. So spiritual reading.
I just had a parent-teacher conference with one of my son's teachers and his English teacher, and they said this wonderful little statement. They said, your son needs to figure out a time in the day where his mind is open to books. And whenever that is, that's his reading time. That's when he should be doing his assignments. And I really like that because, you know, for me, it's also the morning. Yeah. For my wife, it's the night. She loves reading late in bed. For some people, and this has been times in my life, it's the subway on the way home when I lived in China. It might be the car ride where you're listening to audiobooks, but whatever, I just want to encourage people, find the time where your mind is open to words. And there's your reading time. There's your little 20 minutes a day or something like that. And 20 minutes a day is a lot of books a year. So go for it.
It is. And especially if you're listening or even reading. And then as far as maybe direction on who should be some of those spiritual writers or those you read, I say start reading spiritual folks, but then start with those who warm your heart to God. That when they talk about God, you're just like, they say it in a way that connects with me. Like it just connects with me in a way that this other guy that everyone loves just doesn't connect with me.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, you know, Dallas Willard is an amazing thought leader.
I don't like reading him.
No, almost anybody I know. Almost anybody I know.
Oh, good. I'm not alone.
No, no. Almost anybody I talk to does not like reading.
I love reading people who have read Dallas Willard.
Exactly.
He's hard to read, though. Actually, Chesterton is a little bit like this too.
He's very hard to read. I was surprised when you said that in the sense that he's not an easy read.
If you put in the work, he is the master of the sentence, and it becomes like pleasure. But you do have to put in the work. He's not. Yeah. Lewis is immediately accessible to everybody.
Sure.
But
all that said, I would say don't jump into Willard because you're like,
yeah.
Everyone says this guy should love this guy, and you know, like. He might explain something in a way that is helpful. I find that whoever has read him and then wrote on his behalf is my favorite medium for Willard specifically.
I love that.
But then I would say, man, I remember when I read Richard Foster for the first time, Celebration of the Disciplines. I mean, my mind was like blown. I immediately went out and he connected with my heart in a way.
He was so helpful to me too.
Really? Yeah. And he wrote a book called Prayer on the topic of prayer. Mm-hmm. That book changed my life.
That's
changed
great.
My life. And I still read it annually. And it's because it goes through all of these current and ancient style prayer practices, explains what they are. And he basically just gives very real, tangible things that we can expect biblically, practically. So I would just say, find someone that warms your heart, but your fatherhood needs your spiritual discipline, your spiritual formation. We cannot do this without the power of the Spirit like we started. So
yeah,
I think
which is a good place to land the plane here.
Yes, because what we're trying to say is like, how do you actually have rhythms and time to open your mind and heart to the presence of Jesus so that he is filling you to help you in your fatherhood journey?
Yeah.
Because I can't be a good husband and I cannot be a good father for the life of me when I try hard. Yep. It actually goes the opposite. It gets exponentially worse.
And I would close my comments by saying, that was the flip for me, that realizing my trying hard was getting me to dangerous places. And there was just so much legalism in the life that I was living. Like I was working to earn my identity in the office. And the beautiful thing about the spiritual disciplines is that it's the opposite, right? So many people, they hear about them, they're like, well, isn't that legalistic? Or like, you know, if I do all these habits, Justin, isn't that just trying to, and it's like, no. The whole thing was that I was thinking that by my habits, I could earn my identity at work. And now I'm saying, oh no, wait, habits can't make God love me. Yes. They won't make anybody love me. The whole reason we talk about this is because habits won't change God's love for you, but God's love for you should change your habits. And so it's like your morning reading. It's like, I want to luxuriate in the presence of this friend named Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual disciplines are the place where we say, something has been done for me. Mm-hmm. So now I want to turn towards that. I want to take one step in that direction. And for me, that flip of realizing this is not a heavy burden, this is the light burden, makes the spiritual disciplines actually hedonistic. You're like, oh yeah, that's the life I want to live.
Yes.
Because it's the life you were made for.
Yes. The life you're made for. So wherever this episode hits you, we just want to remind everyone, please submit your questions. Hello at intentional.com. fatherhood.org. Also, stay tuned for the next episode. That's going to be really important because these two are tied together, and we want to go deep into how your physical disciplines and your body actually make say it the way you say it way better. Say it the way you say it.
Everything spiritual in the world wants to become physical, and everything physical in the world wants to be spiritual because God made us this divine union of spirituality and physicality. So yes. It's when we talk about these topics, you know, the spiritual disciplines, hidden under everything that we just talked about was a physical one. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, take your body here, turn the page here, audiobook, you know, what time of the day. And it's so helpful to then open our eyes to the other side of the equation. So tune in for the next episode of saying, hey, everything physical that you do, your workouts, your eating, we'll talk about fasting, sex, your attention, your brain, they're all spiritual. Mm-hmm. They're all spiritual. Don't listen to the lies of the modern world that, oh, that's just your physical life.
I've been telling my wife, hey, this is a spiritual discipline, sweetheart. We need sexual intimacy.
We'll see if we can work that in.
Yeah, we'll see. Any guy's like, hey, can we work that?
Yeah.
No, but you're absolutely right. And I'm excited about this one.
I am too. So come back next time for physical disciplines that are also very spiritual.
All right. We'll see you next time.